The Nowhere Emporium, Chapter 4, The Monster, Edinburgh, December 1878. The knock on the door of Castlefoot Home for Lost Boys came at precisely 5 minutes to midnight. At first, the call went unanswered. The man at the door waited patiently, flickering, gathering crystals of falling snow from his shoulders. After a while, he took up his silver-topped cane and rapped hard on the door 3 times. A minute or so passed before flustered footsteps could be heard from within and the sound of jangling keys and heavy locks. The door swung open. The man inside was wearing a nightgown. He was stout and fat-necked, a neatly trimmed beard, the only evidence of where the chin ended and the neck began. "Can I help you?" he asked, frowning over a pair of spectacles. The visitor nodded. "I believe so. Are you the master of the orphanage?" "I am," said the master. "And who may you be?" The man at the door, who had been standing a step below the master, stepped up so that they were standing on level ground. He was much taller than the average man, over 6 feet in height, with powerful shoulders and a square-set jaw. His neatly cropped silver hair and goatee seemed to sparkle in the warm glow of the lamps. His eyes were cold, icy blue. "I'm here about the boy," he said, his voice barely more than a whisper. After a moment of hesitation, the master's eyes widened. "Yes," he said. Please come in. Get out of the snow. Warm yourself." The tall man nodded once, stepped into the home for the lost boys. It might have been warmer out in the snow. "Can I offer you a drink, Mr. Sharp? Vindicus Sharp. No drink, thank you. Best see the boy as soon as possible." "If you don't mind my saying, Mr. Sharp," said the master, "you may have picked a more reasonable hour to visit. The asylum does not want to wish to draw attention to the boy," the tall man replied. "Such cases attract stigma, unless, of course, you wish the child's condition to become more common knowledge. The master shook his head. No, this will do fine." "Very well," said Vindicus Sharp. "This boy, he has been here since birth?" The master nodded. "More or less. And have these incidents happened regularly?" Again, the master gave a nod. His face had transformed at the mere mention of the boy, taking on a haunted, hollow sort of look. "Do you think you can do something about it?" he asked, clasping his hands. Sharp raised an eyebrow. "May I speak with him?" he said. The master picked up a lamp and led Vindicus Sharp through the entrance hall to the caretaker's office, where he picked a large key from the hook on the wall. After this, they walked to a passageway adorned with the grand portraits of previous masters and beneficiaries of the home. "Watch your step," said the master as they began to descend a dark, twisting staircase. The stairs opened out to another corridor, this one lit by a solitary gas lamp. The place smelled of damp and dirt and faintly of disinfectant. "You keep him down here?" said Sharp. The master, who was a pace or two ahead, turned, and his face was as white mask of shame. "We've no choice," he said. Then, almost as a way of apology, he added, "He's very well fed, and we let him out in the open air once a week. There are many children in the city who have it much worse." Sharp did not answer. They reached a door at the end of the corridor. The master took a rusted key and placed it in the keyhole. It was stiff, and it took him a few attempts to open the lock. He reached the doorknob, but Sharp's gloved hands blocked him. "I think I will take it from here," he said. The master stared for a moment. "Alone? Are you sure?" "You are welcome to wait here," said Sharp. But if I am to evaluate this boy, then yes, I must speak with him privately." In spite of the cold, the master wiped a bead of sweat from the end of his nose. "Very well," he said. "If it is necessary, I suppose. But I will be here by the door should you need me." Vindicus Sharp's mouth twitched. It may have been a smile, but he had turned towards the door before the master could properly tell. He reached for the handle and slowly opened the door. The room beyond was small and square. The only items of furniture were a small bed made from cast iron and a simple wooden bookcase packed with volumes of various sizes and thicknesses. At the foot of the bed sat a boy. He was perhaps 10 years old, scrawny, almost to the point of being a skeletal, with a mop of ragged wild hair. At first glance, Sharp thought him unremarkable, save for his eyes, which were the angry grey of a thundery ocean sky. Sharp closed the door in the master's peering face, his gaze returned to the child. "Are you here to take me away?" said the boy. Sharp brushed a smudge from the silver handle of his cane. "That depends," he said, and he indicated to the bookcase. "You like to read?" The boy nodded. "I love to read. The words let me go somewhere else in my head, away from here." Vindicus Sharp scanned the contents of the bookcase. There were some children's stories there, among them Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Treasure Island, but there were also books that were not for children. "Have you read all of these?" he asked, tapping the complete works of Shakespeare with his cane. The boy nodded. The tall man bowed his head. "Impressive. Tell me, are you aware that that master is scared of you?" The grey of the boy's eyes seemed to deepen and intensify. "Everyone's scared of me, and they should be." "And why might that be?" asked Sharp. The boy fixed him with a cold stare. "Because," he said, "I can do things that they can't. I can do things nobody can." He nodded towards the door. "They call me a monster." Vindicus Sharp's face remained as blank as the walls. "Show me," he said. The boy's gaze travelled to the bookcase, and once again it began to tremble. Several books tumbled to the floor, and then one of the books, bound in a green leather, shot away from the shelves as though it had been thrown. But this book did not hit the floor. Its pages opened and began to flap, and the book circled over Sharp's head like an awkward bird. After 30 seconds or so, the book thudded to the bare stone floor. Sharp's face remained calm, but the boy could see that something in his eyes had changed. "Everything all right in there?" came the master's voice from out in the hallway. Neither the boy nor the tall man answered. "Why aren't you scared of me?" asked the boy. Sharp said nothing. For the first time, the boy was aware of how strikingly blue his eyes were. Without warning, every remaining book on the shelves soared into the air and began to circle and swoop around the room, never colliding, though. There were many times. The boy's mouth fell open. He watched and watched until Sharp's glance towards the bookcase, and in seconds the books were back, exactly in the spot they had previously occupied. Vindicus Sharp flattened out a crease in one of his leather gloves. His blue eyes met the grey eyes of the boy. "I am not afraid of you," he said, "because I am a monster too." A doctor from the city asylum arrived at the orphanage early next morning. He had called upon to evaluate one of the boys, a child who had been involved in unexplained and occasionally violent incidents. When the master led him down the narrow stairs up to the dark corridor and opened the door, he was at a loss to explain where the boy might have gone or why several of the books were missing from the bookcase. The doors to the building were locked immediately and every inch of the place searched. But there was no trace of the child. He had simply vanished. The master had no recollection of ever having answered the door the previous night. He possessed no memory of Vindicus Sharp in his impeccable suit, or how he had led him to the boy in the basement. He certainly could not remember how he himself had helped to pack the child's belongings and seen them out safely. That night and every night thereafter, the master would dream of a man and a boy walking together through the falling snow. Though he ran, he could never quite catch them up.